What are we waiting for? Maybe it's 5 days to Christmas and then seeing family, is that it? And thank you for spending day six here with us this afternoon. But what are you waiting for in life? And whether 2025 was a good year or a bad year for you, I wonder, are you waiting for something to make it better, to make life better? Life easily disappoints, doesn't it? Maybe because of loss. In our reading, we meet a woman who had married and was married for 7 years. Maybe to someone that she had waited for. And then when we meet her, she's been a widow until the age of 84. Or maybe for you, there's disappointment even in success. You get the job, you get the house, but still things don't feel the way that you hoped they would. Are we waiting for life to be different? Well, I want to tell you about two people who got everything they've been waiting for. Take hold of these joyful gospels. Thanks to Laquena McIver, who designed the cover. Please open them up to page 7. These are yours to take away, and I'd love to show you why you should treasure them. So page 7, bottom of the page, we meet two people, a man and a woman. And they are both old, so the 84-year-old widow, she's one of them, and they are both so happy because they found everything that they were waiting for. So look, just under the title where it says Jesus presented in the temple. We meet Mary and Joseph. They walk into the temple minding their own business. And the old man, a total stranger, grabs their baby and says, "Kill me now." Or the sort of happy version of that. Top of page 8, just over the page. He's saying, "I've got everything I wanted out of life. Lord, now dismiss me, your servant, in peace." This baby is everything he was waiting for, and now his life is complete. I tell you, not many babies have this effect. We've got some babies in the room this evening, so test this. Walk your baby up and down by the, you know, the oldest person you can find in the building, and the best you can hope for is a sort of, "Oh, isn't she beautiful?" People don't tend to welcome death just because they saw something in a nappy. But Luke, our author, does not think that Simeon is a crazy old man or that Anna is a sentimental old widow. He has included them in his carefully investigated historical summary of Jesus' life because they are evidence about Jesus, the baby in the story. See, Simeon and Anna, they come at the end of hundreds of years of a Jewish tradition of entirely accurate prediction of the future. Simeon, he says his wait is over, but that is not because his bucket list is small. Do you have a list? What's on your list of the things you want to do before you kick the bucket? Mine is full of things that you need to be young and healthy to achieve. So I'm aware I'm in trouble on my list. Simeon's bucket list is huge. Again, page 7, verse number 26. It had been revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Anna and Simeon waiting for the central figure in world history. And Luke wrote his book so that we could evaluate Jesus. Was Simeon right to say, "My life is complete"? Well, Simeon and Anna, they tell his parents and they tell us two things about Jesus. First one, the wait is over. So this baby is the Messiah. And I wonder, can you imagine Simeon's life? God had told him he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And then he gets older and older. It's like waiting for flying cars in London. Do you see the news? Apparently they're coming in 2028 to Canary Wharf, if you believe it this time. I've been waiting all my life. Waiting and waiting, and then it's him. It's him. He's here. Verse number 30. "My eyes have seen your salvation." The wait is over. this baby is the Messiah. Messiah means anointed king. And then there's a list in the reading. He is consolation. That's an emotional category. He makes everything better. And salvation, that means rescue, which in Luke means rescue from the results of all our guilt and our failure. And light and glory for all of the nations. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or what you grew up believing. And redemption, Anna says. That means this baby buys you out of slavery and sets us free. And most Christmas cards and carols, they have that. Jesus, the Savior of the world. But the visual is odd, isn't it? A grown man holding a baby and somebody shouts, "He's been rescued!" Wouldn't you think, you'd assume, the baby's trying to eat a tarantula or play in front of a lorry or something. Adults rescue babies, not the other way around. But Simeon holds this baby and says, "We've been rescued." I wonder if you remember what it feels like to be rescued. Did you read about the account a month ago on the knife attack on the train? I want to read to you what Astrid said about Stephen Crayon. Astrid is 19. She was the last person into the buffet car before they closed the door. "Astrid, why were you unharmed?" she said. "Then Stephen placed himself in front of me, between myself and the attacker. The attacker showed the knife, and Stephen Crayon threw himself at the attacker in order for me to have the opportunity to close the door. If Stephen wasn't there, I would have been seriously injured. I'm so thankful. My life could have been different. I'm so lucky." That's what rescue feels like. As if the world was waiting for our Stephen Crayon, for someone to rescue us. And Simeon says the wait is over. And not just for him, for you and for me and for the whole world. Everything we've been waiting for. But second, he also tells Mary what we will do to Jesus. So second point, this baby will divide us. Simeon talks about Jesus as a light, like the searchlight on a rescue helicopter. And the light is wonderful, but it also divides us. After Simeon's kind of song at the top of page 8, look, he just speaks directly to Mary in the next paragraph. And I think, look down, we didn't expect him to say this. Verse 35, "Would you say this to a new mum? A sword will pierce your soul too." It's like, lovely baby Mary, cute smile. One day, being his mum will feel like someone is stabbing you in the heart. Why? Because of what this baby reveals. Because Jesus is both a light and a rescue. I don't know, do you feel sorry for flood victims in the TV news age? Imagine being Doris. Doris has a flooded house and she is sitting on her roof trying not to drown, and that is bad enough. And here comes the rescue helicopter, thank God. But as well as the rescue helicopter is also the Sky News helicopter, so that we can watch Doris, all of us in our homes, in the searchlight, as she's winched to safety in her fluffy pink dressing gown and her bed hair. It's like that. Jesus is a light, and he divides us. Verse number 34, "Some will fall and some will rise, and Jesus will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." Jesus shines a light on the hearts of the world. He shows us what we are really like, shows us what our lives really are, and then offers to rescue us. And that is why old man Simeon predicts division for Jesus and pain for Mary, because nobody likes the thoughts of their hearts revealed. And we have this idea, I think, that Jesus comes to make everything better. And we confuse him with that other Christmassy event that we don't really believe in, the thick fall of snow at Christmas time. With that, the snow falls on mucky London, and for a day at least, it covers over everything, and the world is all shiny and pure. It's as if we think Jesus comes at Christmas time and pours goodness all over our lives and sort of hides everything that we don't like. No. Simeon says he only makes things better if we let him expose the thoughts of our hearts and welcome him. So anybody here today, it doesn't matter what he finds in your heart, he will forgive you. He is the rescue if we welcome him. But so he divides us. He came for the rising of many, those here weighed down by guilt, in need of rescue. He will raise you. But others will fall because they will speak against him. And that is more than just missing the rescue helicopter. That is shaking your fist at it. That is trying to shoot it down. Which makes Christmas a time of decision. In just a second, the choir will sing Mary, Did You Know? It's a chance for us to reflect on our decision about Jesus. And we don't know the answer to all of the questions in the song, but we know what Simeon and Anna told Mary when her baby was just 1 month old. She knew about the division and the pain for her, and she knew that this was the Messiah the world had been waiting for. So can I close by asking us, when it comes to Jesus, what are you waiting for? Simeon and Anna, they're ready to die because they'd met Jesus, because Jesus is what life is for. And Luke wrote this book to help anyone welcome Jesus. Please take it home. You can read through the rest of what the baby did in his life. And also the back page of our service sheet. We have people to help you think about this, including Tom Holland, he's visiting, and a wonderful community to investigate Jesus with. Both those things, they're happening in January. So what are we waiting for? 2026 could be our year when the wait is over.